This was the first time that I was ever shopping for car tires. And I went to this place, and the salesman showed me the price list, and I was thrilled. The top of the line Michelin tires, $176. So I said, wow, I cannot get tires this cheap in India. So I said, yeah, sure, you know, let me get the top of the line. I don't drive well in the snow. So, you know, you need good tires. People told me, get good tires. So top of the line, why not? $176, I can afford that. When the bill came, I realized he meant $176 per tire. My bill was $704 plus taxes. That's my one paycheck. My eyes pop out, but you know, I had to save my pride. So I took out my elite American Express card. I said, that's cool, you know, that's cool. Inside, I'm hurting. I said, this is crazy. This is not what I came with. That's exactly what I did. I even broke a very holy rule in my life. See, the only reason I have credit card is because I get airline miles. So it's cheaper for me to fly to India. I never buy stuff if I don't have the money for it, except to save my pride. I don't know if the salesman across the counter was impressed or not, but I learned for the first time that pride costs. Pride is expensive. Pride doesn't just cost us extra money. In my case, a lot of extra money. Pride can cost us our salvation. Today's first reading from Sirach. This is what the author says. Conduct your affairs with humility. Why? What's the benefit? Because if we conduct our affairs with humility, we will find favor with God. There's a special relationship that develops between a person and God if we conduct our affairs, not only our relationship with God, but our affairs with humility. Jesus couldn't be more direct. He says, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. What is that being humbled? Humbled? I don't know. Is it that deep down in the pit? Humbled. But anyone who humbles himself will be exalted. That is why in the Catholic tradition, pride is counted among one of the seven deadly sins. It's deadly. It can cost you your salvation. It can kill you. Now, in 3 points, I hope to reflect on the sin of pride and the virtue of humility. Now, I'm sure you've heard many homilies on humility, and there are multiple ways that you can approach this topic. The way I want to approach this topic this morning, finding inspiration from today's reading from scriptures, is to look at humility as a posture. How is it that we posture ourselves or position ourselves in relation to God, in relation to people, and in relation to our own selves? So first, humility is about our posture or our position in the presence of God. How do we position ourselves before God? The last couple of months, I have been led to reflect not only about the quality of my prayer life, my relationship with God, but also how I go about my prayer life. So for example, it's not uncommon for me to say, well, you know, today I won't pray in the morning, because that's my set time for prayer. I won't pray in the morning. How about today I pray in the evening? Or maybe my quality of prayer is not as good, and I say, I'm going to work on it next week. Right? Always postpone what is good. Or it's not uncommon for me to think, you know, today I have a busy day, but let all my work become my prayer. Well, all those at some point are valid arguments. There's only one problem with this kind of approach. It's as if God has to be available to me whenever I am free. Shouldn't it be the other way around? That I am available to God? So this whole posturing, position, who is at the service of whom in my prayer life? And not only prayer life. Let's think about how we spend time. How do we allocate our finances? How do we manage our relationships? How do we worship? All these, if God has little to say about these matters in our lives, then we need to rethink our posture in the presence of God. First point. Second, our posture in the presence of others. Now, most people don't have trouble with point number one. Why? Because we believe God is superior than us. We believe that God is better than us. God is all-knowing. And so it's easy for us to surrender before God, but it's before people that humility is even more difficult. We can use many examples or many measures of humility when it comes to our relationship with others. St. Paul, for example, in the letter to the Philippians, he would say, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better before yourselves. So humility is considering other people better than yourself. That's one measure. Jesus, in today's gospel reading, provides a totally different measure. Hear what he says. When you hold a lunch or dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors. Rather, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. What is Jesus doing? He's eliminating any false sense of humility. In other words, if we think we are humble because we wear unbranded clothes or because we do charity, or even hesitate to talk about our achievements, all those things are good. But Jesus says one good measure of humility is, who do you associate with? In Jesus' time, the poor, the blind, the lame, these were the people who lived on the fringes of society. And we ask ourselves, who are the people who live on the fringes of our society? Immigrants. Addicts, the unemployed, the homeless, children in foster care. And if we think there are multiple groups of people that we can, and how much room do these people have in our lives? Do we care to associate, and why? It's a good question to think about. So Jesus' measure of humility is, who do we find ourselves associating with? Third, our estimation in our own eyes, our posturing in front of our own eyes. I was talking to the coordinator of the social justice program back at Immaculate. And she was talking about how she went for one of these meetings, which was supposed to be a meeting to talk about social justice and all that. And one of the guys who made a presentation quite inadvertently said, at the end, he said, you know, you and I have to accept that the poor are just different from us. Just have to admit that the poor are just different from us. Now, this guy's intention is all right. Obviously, he's doing something good. But I think humility, in his opinion, or in his life, has not become a virtue yet. Remember I spoke about how humility is a virtue, whereas pride is a deadly sin? When does a virtue become a virtue in our lives? When its practice becomes instinctive. Instinctive. So this man, he's doing good things, his intention is to do the right thing, but humility still hasn't become a virtue. The poor, we have to accept, they're just different than us. We are humble people when instinctively we know our posture, our position in the presence of God and of our own selves. And what is my posture? What is my dignity? I know who I am. I'm a helpless sinner who has been redeemed by the unconditional love of God. That's all who I am. That is my dignity. Without God and without God's redeeming love, I have nothing. So to assign myself that dignity and to assign the other person the same dignity instinctively, it's then that humility has become a virtue. Jesus tells us, if we don't do this, if our posture before God and others and ourselves is not right, Jesus says, then you will be humbled. At some point, we will learn humility the hard way like I did. Cost me much. So, humble yourselves and you will be exalted. Exalt yourself, you will be humbled. So here we are at this Eucharist and we bring ourselves into the presence of this altar. In very few moments, somebody will bring bread and wine up to the altar. Humility is becoming like that bread and wine. Look at the bread and wine. Unpresumptuous, simple, humble. And yet God takes these humble elements and exalts it so it becomes the body and the blood of Christ. Let us identify ourselves with that bread and wine. Let's come in the same way, unpresumptuous, simple, humble. And let's present ourselves before our God and let the power, the Spirit of God empower us so that we can be exalted as children of God. That is our dignity, isn't it? But without the humility and the simpleness of that bread and wine, nothing will change in us. Let that be our prayer. Let that be our hope. The people of God said,